In the late 1970s, a young street artist who began his artistic life painting graffiti in the city's walls sold his first painting to another emerging New York artist. That artist was the Blondie singer Deborah Harry. Over the course of the next few years, that street artist, Jean-Michel Basquiat, stunned the New York American art scenes with his radical and untamed expressionist paintings. But by the late 1980s, his involvement with drugs took its toll. He died of an overdose in 1988 at the age of just 27. Although acclaimed across the art world and filmed various occasions talking about his art, only one photographer, Roland Hagenberg, was able to capture Basquiat at work in his New York studio. Roland is with me in this studio right now ahead of his upcoming Dublin exhibition, which features some of the photographs of Basquiat that Roland took. How would you describe, Roland, first of all, Jean-Michel Basquiat and the impact that he had on American art in the 1980s?
I don't know if he had so much impact in the 80s, but I think the most important feature is that he is the first African-American artist who was accepted in the contemporary art world, which was dominated by white male curators, museum directors, collectors. So I think, like all the other artists, compared to the other artists, that separates him, and that was his most strongest impact.
What was that scene like? I mean, maybe the impact came later on, perhaps, but what was that 1980s scene in New York like? Because you arrived there as a relatively young man into the midst of the mayhem and madness that was 1980s New York.
Yeah, I was at that time writing for German magazine Stern. It was a weekly magazine, and the first report was actually about a friend of Basquiat. They were all kids, like I was too, spraying in the subway, doing graffiti, and there were hundreds or thousands of them, and who knows who will really become the rich guy. I mean, Basquiat painting today is 120 million, one piece. No? So we were all dreaming of becoming famous, which... the idol was Andy Warhol. You arrived there with just a suitcase in New York and try to make it somehow. But I was there writing a report on a friend of Basquiat, Michael Stewart, who was actually strangled by the police in the subway in New York while spraying the walls. And that story came out big in Germany and then came to New York and uncovered actually the police brutality in New York. So that was the beginning of that.
Did you see anything, apart from the fact that you were possibly hoping at that time that you would become famous and make a lot of money, but did you see anything in Basquiat's art, in his street art, that made him stand out from those others who were in the subways trying to do the same thing?
I would not see. I doubted if other people saw it too, but what you could see was his attitude, his character. He was very self-assured, and he knew already at that time, in a time where there was no Facebook or something, how to present himself and how to... He was a very charming guy. He had, of course, many girlfriends, and he attracted people, and he knew how to put himself in the middle of the scene in a very modest way, and that made him appealing. So it was not so much the art that was important, but the personality.
And I guess that's what, because among the, as I mentioned in the exhibition that's coming up in Dublin, there are a number of photographs that you took of him. Were you, as far as you know, you were the only photographer to get into his studio and to take that type of photograph of him in mid-flight, as it were?
Yes, it was on Crosby Street, that particular studio, and it's a play of history that no photos survived from that time while he was painting in that studio. And it's always, looking back in history, interesting how images make then afterwards an artist. We know that famous image of Picasso in the striped T-shirt. We know when we think of Franz Kafka, of that black and white image, or Sigmund Freud.
Yeah.
Those are not images which someone had decided they will make the artist, but it's kind of...
Subsequently.
And I think one or two of those images became... or will become the definite image of Basquiat, the tortured artist in the dark Soho studio, stricken by poverty, but still with one foot becoming a millionaire.
Yeah, but to what extent do you think that was? You know, did he know how to strike that pose, as it were? Because you know, there is a real look of melancholy on his face. Was that inherent? Is that energy within him, or was it something that he could produce, if you like, for the camera?
No, I think these photos he didn't produce. All the other photos, there are of course other photos of Basquiat too, but I always say they are more like the party shots, or especially then afterwards when he appeared on the cover of Time magazine, it was all posing, and that was also under the influence of Andy Warhol, to present yourself, to pose. But those photographs are actually... Actually, all my photographs are taken after I interviewed the artist. So you build already up
a rapport,
and it becomes more natural, and there is no posing in that sense. Also, we were in the discussion fighting actually about European art and American art, and at one point he wanted to throw me out of the studio.
Was he dismissing European art?
Pardon?
Was he dismissing European art?
Yeah, well, I said... In Berlin, we have the ideas, and in New York is the money. So that's why all the artists go to New York, and that's, he was very upset about that.
Yeah, well, what would he make then, as you said, $120 million? What was the Sotheby's price? $110 million, $120 million, somewhere in that region. What would he make of that, since he was so upset about your idea that New York could monetize art? What do you think he would make of that type of value being put on his work? Monetary value.
Actually, that's what all the artists hope for, that they will become the next
Warhol.
And that was the whole motivation. And you cannot forget, it was at the same time a very dangerous time. There was mugging, there was AIDS. So many artists didn't survive that dream they carried with them.
The other photograph in this book that you brought into me, which is a collection of photographs, not just of Basquiat, but of others there as well, but it struck me, we see him in the studio actually painting with, you know, some piece of, it looks like perhaps a canvas, perhaps just material stretched over a wooden frame. It's down on the ground. There's quite an energy in that. Did the energy change when he started to paint? Did you see a different side of the artist when he was actually making art?
I think that happens to any artist who is visited by a journalist. And I came there, first of all, as a journalist, and second of all, as a photographer. But you enter a sphere and you destroy it with your appearance. And at that moment when he started to paint, of course, it releases, he's more himself. He doesn't have to pretend or think about words. He was not very articulate, I must say. And
I guess that's why he painted.
That's, you could say, as a painter, you don't have to explain, which I don't think so.
Finally then, just the exhibition that will be shown in Dublin, there are some of your own photographs there, but also is it re-realizations of some of Basquiat's work, or reimaginings of Basquiat's work?
Yeah, I show the original prints, and I have also a collaboration work with Joe Henry, a Scottish painter. And I thought it quite interesting to have a contemporary artist express the mood of that era. Joe didn't live in New York at that time, but I did. So I look forward to do that.
So we have your photographs, Original prints and then Joe Henry's
collaboration,
reaction to them, or feeding off the works of Basquiat. Well, that exhibition, and hardly surprisingly then, has all three names in it. The title, Jean-Michel Basquiat, Roland Hagenberg and Joe Henry. It will launch in Dublin on November the 13th this year at the Sal Fine Art. And you can find out full details on the website, which is salstudio.ie.
And we are also at the RDS Art Source at Booth 111. I will be there. So
all right, Booth 111 at the RDS Art Source as well. That is Roland Hagenberg speaking to me on this Tuesday evening.